You've tuned in to Naturopathy Earth Radio in occult health news, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathy Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory, and welcome back to another episode of Naturopathy Earth Radio and occult health news. I hope you are doing well today. Today, we're going to have a follow-up for episode 40, which we talked about the skyrocketing rate of alcoholism. There's a new study coming out published in Lancet, which is the most prestigious medical journal in the world, based out of England, talking about a new study about how there is no safe level of alcohol possible. It is a great lie that there's a certain amount of alcohol that is beneficial to you. This harkens back to the episode I did on the scam that is resveratrol, which is a compound commonly found in grapes. Therefore, it's commonly found in wine. And we were told for about the last 5 years that we should drink red wine because of the anti-inflammatory effects, especially on the cardiovascular system, that resveratrol provides. So please go back to that episode to listen and find out how exactly it's a scam, how the doctor who was promoting resveratrol as being this life-saving thing was, in fact, had connections to the resveratrol supplement industry. Believe it or not, there is one. So go back to that. But before we begin, the website is Naturopathic Earth. Check out all the articles. Use the search feature and search and type in whatever you like, and you will find stuff. There's over 300 articles, which is not bad given that this website's only existed for a year and a half. And there's plenty of PDFs to download, and you can see a picture of me, and you can see a picture of Kate McCall, and you can listen to all the podcasts there as well. Of course, we do have a crowdfunding account through Patreon. So please patronize that. You can find a link to that on the homepage of the website or in the episode notes of this particular episode. So please donate a couple dollars a month to help defray the cost. Because if you don't know, Kate and I are high school teachers and we do this on the side because we like providing this information to educate, as we would say, people on what topics that we feel are really important. So please check that out. Also, I publish my memoirs, Confessions of an Obese Child. If you don't know, there is a podcast series by that name as well. There's some great interviews there as well. But I did publish my memoirs of what it was like growing up overweight. You can find this on Amazon Kindle or Barnes & Noble Nook, and you can buy it for $2.99. Please post a review if you do me the honor of purchasing it. And if some of you don't know, because I know I do get new listeners, I was an overweight child, hence the name of my memoirs, Confessions of an Obese Child. And I lost about over 100 pounds when I was about 17 years old. I was a size 54 waist boy. And I lost it and I kept it off for over 27 years to this day. I don't have a perfect body, but it's pretty damn good considering that 95% of people who lose weight regain their weight. So I am proud of my accomplishment. And that's one of the reasons why I do this podcast. And the other one is to help people who want to maintain their weight loss. As such, I am a paleo-inspired health coach. So if any of you want some one-on-one attention, I can help you with that. Contact me. And lastly, if you opt in and give us your email on the homepage of the website, you do get a free email consultation in which we will correspond. I have been a little behind on that. So if some of you just signed in the last week or two, please be patient. I will get to you. Before we begin, I do want to talk about that news event that came out a couple of weeks ago that happened in Connecticut about those 12 people, I think they were homeless people, who died from taking Spice or K2 or Scooby Snacks. We did an episode about 30 episodes back on the dangers of synthetic cannabinoids. These are chemicals. Typically, they're produced in China or somewhere in the Far East that mimic the effect of marijuana without it being detected as marijuana and without it actually being cannabis. So it's, that's what we call it, synthetic cannabinoid. Anyways, if you don't know the story, about 2 weeks ago, the authorities in Connecticut, they found 12 people dead in a park because of it. And what I mentioned in the podcast, and I definitely recommend you go back to it, is that these Scooby Snacks K2 Spice, they all have different names, and they're commonly sold in gas stations and in vape stores and other places like that, is that they're often laced with other chemicals to make it cheaper for the manufacturers. And so in this case, it was laced with fentanyl. And fentanyl is probably what killed these people and not necessarily the K2, but it's just a cautionary warning, guys, to stay away from them. I'm not endorsing you to smoke pot, especially if any of my students are listening. But definitely stay away from these synthetic cannabinoids. The insidious thing is that they are commonly marketed in children appealing packets. So like Scooby Snacks have a picture of Scooby-Doo on it. And similar to the Juul vape, they're targeting children. And so a lot of people think that it's harmless and then they can die or have overdoses from it. So it's very dangerous. Okay, let's talk about the booze, another dangerous thing. Okay, so today we're going to be gleaning from The Guardian, which is the British magazine. No healthy level of alcohol consumption, says major study. Even the occasional drink is harmful to health, according to the largest and most detailed research carried out on the effects of alcohol, which suggests government should think of advising people to abstain completely, like the Mormons and the Baptists. Especially the Mormons. The uncompromising message comes from the authors of the Global Burden of Disease Study, a rolling project based out of UW and University of Washington, which produces the most comprehensive data on the causes of illness and death in the world. Alcohol, says the report, which was published in Lancet, led to 2.8 million deaths in 2016. It was the leading risk factor for premature mortality and disability in the 15 to 49 age group, accounting for 20% of all deaths. And in fact, overall, alcohol or deaths connected to alcohol is the third largest killer in America, behind sedentary lifestyle and diet and smoking, which are also affected by lifestyle choices. If you go back to the episode we did on how Big Pharma is funding medical schools, we cover at the end of that the 10 top killing diseases in America. And no, I'm sorry, it's on the episode on nosocomial infections or hospital acquired infections killing 250,000 people a year. At the end of that episode, which is around MPE 110, we cover the top 10 killers in America. We note that 7 out of the 10 are preventable lifestyle choices. So here with the alcohol, it's no different. Current alcohol drinking habits pose dire ramifications for future population health in the absence of policy action today, says the paper. Quote, alcohol use contributes to health loss for many causes and exacts its toll across the lifespan, particularly among men. Now, I will say that alcohol consumption is highest in men, but I do remember reading not too long ago that millennial women are catching up. And then, in fact, within 3 generations where women barely drank at all or was very small, millennial women, so women that are arguably 20 to 35, are essentially drinking as much as men do now. They have caught up, something that's a little infamous. But 2.8 million deaths worldwide, that is freaking crazy, just attributed to alcohol. Most national guidelines suggest there are health benefits to 1 or 2 glasses of wine or beer a day, they say. Quote, our results show that the safest level of drinking is none, close quote. And that goes back to resveratrol. Really, resveratrol is the only ostensible reason why people say that they should be drinking a glass a day. The study was carried out by researchers at the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation, the IHME, who investigated levels of alcohol consumption and health effects in 195 countries between 1990 and 2016. They used data from 694 studies to work out how common drinking was And from 592 studies, including 28 million people worldwide, to work out the health risks. So 28 million people were essentially polled in this. That is a humongous study. 28 million. Moderate drinking has been condoned for years, or approved or accepted, on the assumption that there are some health benefits. A glass of red wine a day has long been said to be good for the heart. But although the researchers did find low levels of drinking offered some protection from heart disease per se, and possibly from diabetes and stroke, the benefits were far outweighed by alcohol's harmful effects, they said. Drinking alcohol was a big cause of cancer in the over 50s, particularly in women. Previous research had shown that 1 in 13 breast cancers in the UK were alcohol-related. The study found that globally, 27% of cancer deaths in women and 20% in men over 50 were linked to their drinking habits. Now, this is something that you really don't hear a lot about. We talk about it here on this website, and I mention it in my class. So if you guys don't know, I'm a medical teacher at a high school. And so I do this family feud kind of game, and I'm like, what are the four biggest prime risk factors to developing cancer? And I you know, obesity, high sugar diet, smoking, and alcohol drinking. And I bring that up because a lot of people don't know. They think drinking alcohol is bad because you can, you know, hurt your liver. Maybe some people think it hurts your kidneys or your heart, or you get the beer belly or the beer bloat. But most Americans have no idea that it increases their chances of getting cancer. In younger people globally, the biggest causes of death linked to alcohol were tuberculosis, 1.4% of deaths, which is pretty rare in the West, road injuries, and self-harm, right? Hurting yourself because you're drinking. In the UK, the chief medical officer, Sally Davies, has said there's no safe level of drinking, but the guidance suggests that drinkers consume no more than 14 units a week to keep the risks low. Half a pint of average strength lager contains one unit, and 125 milliliter of glass of wine contains 1.5 units. She's saying you should drink no more than 14 units a week. That's still pretty high, but you know, the Brits drink quite a bit. While the study shows that the increased risk of alcohol-related harm in younger people who have one drink is small, it's 0.5%. It goes incrementally with heavier drinking to 7% among those who have had two drinks a day, in line with what the UK guidelines are now, right? So up to 14 drinks. And that's what it is in America, which we'll cover at the end, that a man can drink up to 14 drinks before he's considered alcohol dependent. But 7% among those who have two drinks a day and 37% of those who have five. 1 in 3 or 2.4 billion people around the world drink alcohol, the study shows. So a third of the world's population. A quarter of women and 39% of men drink. Denmark has the most drinkers at 95% of women and 97% of men. Pakistan has the fewest male drinkers at 0.8%. And Bangladesh, the fewest women at 0.3%. Now, there is a poll, or there's like a little bar graph here on the Guardian article. And the highest drinkers are Denmark, Norway for men. Denmark, Norway, Argentina, Germany, Poland. They're all 94% or higher. And the lowest, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Egypt, Mali, Morocco. Now, what do those four countries have in common? Does anybody know who knows their geography and cultural history? Morocco, Mali, which is a country in the Sahara, sub-Saharan Africa, actually. Egypt, Bangladesh, and Pakistan. Ding, 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 ding. They're Muslim countries. So Muslims are banned from drinking alcohol. They're not supposed to drink alcohol. They're like the Mormons of the Muslim world. Men in Romania and women in Ukraine drink the most. Men in Romania drink 8 drinks a day, respectively. And women in the Ukraine drink 4. 8 drinks a day. While women in the UK take the 8th highest place in the female drinking with an average of 3 drinks a day. I mean, I thought it was bad here when Americans were drinking 3 drinks a day. The UK, the Brit ladies. Ooh. Alcohol poses dire ramifications for future population health in the absence of policy action today. This is what the article says. Our results indicate that alcohol use and its harmful effects on health could become a growing challenge as countries become more developed, and enacting or maintaining strong alcohol control policies will be vital, says the report's author, Professor Emanuela Gattico. Quote, she continues, worldwide, we need to revisit alcohol control policies and health programs and to consider recommendations for abstaining from alcohol. These include excise taxes on alcohol, nice ancillary benefit from the government. Interesting, the government tells us not to drink, then the government would benefit for increased taxes on alcohol. Controlling the physical availability of alcohol and the hours of sale, and controlling alcohol advertising. Good luck on that. I mean, how often during sports, during basketball, especially football, how many Bud Light commercials will you see? I mean, they go hand in hand. Any of these policy actions would contribute to reductions in population-level consumption, a vital step toward decreasing the health loss associated with alcohol use. Alcohol is a colossal global health issue, and small reductions in health-related harms at low levels of alcohol intake are outweighed by the increased risk of other health-related harms, including cancer. Okay, let's finish this up. Okay, I want to go over some alcohol statistics here. This is from the National Institute of Health on alcohol abuse and alcoholism. And I think some of these stats are pretty mind-blowing here. In 2015, 27% of people age 18 and older reported that they engaged in binge drinking in the past month. 28%. That is quite a lot. Alcohol economic burden. In 2010, alcohol misuse cost the United States $249 billion. Three quarters of the total cost of alcohol misuse is related to binge drinking. So binge drinking is a major problem, especially among the millennials. In 2012, 3.3 million deaths, or 5.9% of all global deaths, were attributed to alcohol consumption, which echoes the number that I mentioned earlier. The study out of UW was 2.8 million. In 2014, the World Health Organization reported that alcohol contributed to more than 200 diseases and injury-related health conditions, most notably DSM number 4 alcohol dependence, liver cirrhosis, cancers, and injury. 1,825 college students between the ages of 18 and 24 die from alcohol-related unintentional injuries, including motor vehicle crashes, so almost 2,000. 696,000 students between the ages of 18 and 24 are assaulted by another student who has been drinking, so 700,000. 97,000 students between the ages of 18 and 24 report experiencing alcohol-related sexual assault or date rape, almost 100,000 students. Roughly 20% of college students meet the criteria for alcohol use disorder. One in five. One in four college students report academic consequences from drinking, including missing class, falling behind in class, doing poorly on exams, and receiving lower paper grades overall. I'd say it's probably more than one in four by far. In 2014, 78,000 liver disease deaths among individuals ages 12 and older, 47% involved alcohol. Drinking alcohol increases the risk of cancers of the mouth, esophagus, pharynx, larynx, the voice box, liver, and breasts. Yeah, and it just goes on and on. Now, the definition of binge drinking is when a woman has more than four drinks of alcohol in less than 2 hours. And for men, it's five glasses of alcohol in less than 2 hours. And the definition of alcohol dependence, and I've mentioned this in the previous, on episode 40, on the rising of the numbers of alcoholism in America, is that alcohol dependence begins at 10 drinks or more a week for women, 10 drinks or more, and then 14 or more for men, because women metabolize alcohol much quicker. So look at your own habits, or look at habits that you, of people that you know, if they're drinking more than 10 drinks a day or 10 drinks a week. Now, you might think 10 drinks a week is a lot. Well, if you're one of those people who drinks a glass of wine every night to relax, which is pretty common, That's seven right there, right? I'm doing my basic arithmetic. And so all you need is an extra drink here and there. So if you're drinking 10 a week, you're alcohol dependent, which essentially what they're saying is the initial stages of alcoholism. Alcoholism is typically, I guess, defined by number of drinks that you're having. It's more defined by the behavior. Like, is it affecting your work? Is it affecting your family dynamics? Is it affecting your school? So look at the people that you know, 14 drinks a week for men, 10 drinks a week for women. I will say in general that these stats are disturbing. Now look, I do drink red wine. That's the only alcohol that I drink. I had last night maybe a glass and a half. Most nights I don't drink any alcohol. I only drink a glass or and a half or maybe two drinks of wine every 13 days because I don't drink the weekends I have my kids, because what kind of guy would I be if I'm drinking alone when my kids are asleep? I'm not that type of person. And I'm somewhat casting aspersions on people who do that. I think it is dangerous to be drinking alone. I think alcohol is meant to be drinking in convivial situations when you're around other people and you're having a good time. I think it's a very slippery slope. And I've mentioned this in previous episodes about how you come home. And I think also another great episode to listen to is the one on anxiety and its relation with alcohol. I think the episode is around 105 on Xanax, the effects of Xanax, anxiety, and alcohol, and mixing alcohol and the benzos, including Xanax, increases your chances of death. It's not a good combination. But I mentioned how it's a very slippery slope to come home and you're anxious, you had a tough day, and you drink a glass. And then soon you develop that as a habit. It's just a social habit or a crutch that you use to unwind. And now next thing you know, you're drinking a glass a day. And then if you have a really hard day, you'll go to two drinks a day and then three drinks. And then next thing you know, you're drinking 17 drinks of alcohol a week. And then you need it to continue. You need it to keep the anxiety down. But what you don't know, it actually increases your anxiety. And so it's so easy to go down that slippery slope. So my advice to you is, according to this study out of University of Washington published in Lancet, is that we shouldn't be drinking any at all. Now, if you read the fine print, and this is really important, drinking a glass a day does show some protection from heart disease and maybe diabetes. But what the study is saying is that it might protect you on those two things, but on every other indicator, even drinking one glass a day hurts your body. And the other thing it says is that that's at one drink a day. But as soon as you go to two drinks or three drinks, or if you do the cumulative, if you go 10 to 12 to 17 to 20 drinks a week, then it skyrockets all indicators, including diabetes and heart disease. So if you're drinking a glass of wine, and this is important, when the study came out, there was a lot of like doomsday stuff. And overall, it's not a good thing to drink the alcohol. And I agree with what the study says. I mean, ideally, we want to be like Muslims and Mormons, right? M&Ms, Muslims and Mormons. We don't want to drink alcohol. We really don't, because the overall bad things that come from it outweigh any tiny good things, the diabetes and the heart disease. So yeah, we do want to stay away from them. And if you do have alcohol dependence or you're an alcoholic, please get help. Because look, my father was an alcoholic. If you listen to the Confessions episodes, go to episode one, Why Did I Become Fat? My father was an alcoholic, and I know a lot of functional alcoholics like he was, but it destroys lives. It destroys the kids. The kids grow up having attachment issues, and they grow up having addiction issues many times. And even though they might not drink alcohol because they saw what alcohol did to their family, they might turn to another thing. And so it throws off the psychosexual development. It throws off the development in general of kids who grow up in alcoholic houses. So it's one of those things that we really want to avoid at all cost. And if you are drinking a lot, you are killing yourself, guys. I mean, the studies are very clear about its effect on cancer and effect on how it hurts your heart if you're drinking a lot, and its effect on just the social aspects. You have the higher rate of course, more motor vehicle accidents and self-harm and accidents in general. And you're just hurting yourself. So if you have not reached the point where you're a full-fledged alcoholic and you can stop, please try to limit your consumption to ideally maybe four drinks a week, if not less, and only drink on very special occasions. That's the ideal, guys. So look in the mirror. If you're drinking a lot, please,
please try to limit your alcohol because it is shortening your life expectancy. There's no way around this. It is shortening your life, and you deserve better than that. And so do your children, and so does your spouse. So please try to limit your alcohol as much as you can. All right, guys, that's all I have to say. Please hit the subscribe button right now, and get these episodes sent directly to your phone. And as always, post honest reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to this, for Confessions of an Obese Child, Kate's Apothecary, and this podcast series, NP Radio, and Occult Health News. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Occult Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Occult Health News and at our Facebook page at Naturopathy Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to this. And remember the core belief at NPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time. Music attributed to Nine Inch Nails.